Good evening, folks. It is the 27th, I was going to say of November, it's the 27th of April. It's Monday night. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington. It was an absolutely beautiful day here today. I sat out in the sun for a while and just really enjoyed the weather. We get beautiful days like this. It's either hot and muggy or cold and rainy in Washington, but today it was absolutely beautiful. Well, we have good news, bad news. The good news is that David Duke apparently has left Czechoslovakia, where he was arrested on charges of suspicion. Get that, folks, suspicion of Holocaust denial. But he was kicked out of the country. They apparently, enough people were protesting and expressing their concerns about it that they released him apparently at about 3 o'clock in the morning and said, you're free to go, but get out of the country by 12 noon or something like that. And apparently David has indeed left Czechoslovakia. I sent him an email. I'd like to get him on this show sometime this week to talk about his adventures in Eastern Europe, and I know a lot of you will want to hear what he has to say about that. Kind of interesting, the Czech police have announced since his departure that apparently he could not be charged with any crimes because of the fact that even though his book does contain material which could be considered quote-unquote Holocaust denial, his book, which was translated into, I guess, the Czech language, and forgive my ignorance if they don't speak the Czech language in the Czech Republic, but in any case, because his publisher in Czechoslovakia, in the Czech Republic, put an intro to the book, an introduction to the book, saying that we don't agree with all the extremist positions that David Duke takes. That means, therefore, that since David doesn't have the copyright on the book and is not responsible for whatever was translated, that therefore he can't be charged. That is the story I got off the internet. I'll just have to accept that for the time being as the story. But I always caution you, you can't believe everything you read on the internet. So it's a good news, bad news type situation. It's a bad news situation in that the Thought Police are once again exercising their powers and managed to deny David Duke his right to speak out. But then again, the Czech Republic is not the United States of America, and they do have different laws over there, whether we like them or not. The problem, folks, is that the same people who were responsible for David Duke's arrest and for his expulsion are the same people who are running rampant in this country, and they do want those kind of laws enacted in this country. I've talked about it time and time again, folks. They want to make it such that if you say things that they don't like, that those statements will be considered a provocation, possible provocation toward violence, and therefore that kind of speech, that is, if you, for example, criticize the state of Israel, well, that can be considered offensive to Jewish people who like the state of Israel. And if that's considered offensive to them, someone might hear what you're saying and say, well, I don't like the state of Israel, and I don't like the fact that 70 to 75% of the Jewish people in America, according to polls by the Anti-Defamation League, 75% of the Jewish people in America support Israel and all its crimes. The very fact that you might agree with that would be considered a possible provocation, and therefore that should be illegal. It's as simple as that. That's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. And it's very frightening. A lot of people don't want to talk about that, but that's just the way it goes. Anyway, we are going through the break. When we come back, a little bit more commentary, and we'll get around to the phones here and take your calls. Stay tuned. This is Michael Collins Piper here at RepublicBroadcasting.org.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
They say 50 is the new 40. I like that idea. But it won't change the facts about prostate health. At my age, you have to understand what the prostate affects. Urine flow, intimacy, sleeping habits, overall quality of life. So if you're like me and you want to give your body nutritional support for a healthy prostate, then take what I take. All natural beta prostate. Now, many men try saw palmetto, but beta prostate has hundreds of times more healthy plant sterols. In Europe, doctors prescribe plant sterols for prostate support, but here you can get them in non-prescription beta prostate. This is targeted nutrition, and it works with your body. So why wouldn't you take this amazing nutrient? Here's a number you can call to try beta prostate risk-free. Call 800-362-5848. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Pfeiffer here. I feel compelled to comment on the swine flu scare. It is scary. But again, I'll tell you what, when it's coming from the mass media, when it's coming from the medical establishment, my suspicions immediately arise. I know way, way back in the early days when I was first writing for the Spotlight newspaper, I had occasion to do one story about swine flu. It was because somebody from the town where I was born in, a locally prominent musician, had gone out dutifully and gotten his swine flu vaccine back in the 1970s. And as a direct consequence of the swine flu vaccine, he became crippled for life. He had suffered side effects from it, and I did a story about it. I know enough people, have known enough people, prominent and not so prominent, in the alternative health movement over the years, and they have raised big suspicions about these vaccines, and I have no reason to doubt they are 100% correct. So my two cents on the matter, and that's about all it is, folks, is don't get the swine flu vaccines. Now, if you do go out and get the swine flu, if you don't get the swine flu vaccine and then get swine flu and become critically ill, don't say, I didn't get the vaccine because Mike Pfeiffer told me not to. Just think about it for yourself and realize that there are literally 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 sides to this story, just as there are so many other stories out there. As I say, that's my two cents on swine flu. Let's hope that it isn't as bad as they say it is, but then again, We have to question as to whether or not they're not making, whether or not they are making it worse. Just something to consider. Well, we had the big Geneva conference, which they called Durban 2. President Ahmadinejad of Iran, as I noted here in the other evening, caused a big stir by daring to state the obvious, state the fact that Israel is a racist state. Well, excuse me, I just learned today that there was a counter-conference organized to challenge the Durban conference. This conference was organized by Anne Bayefsky of the Turo Institute. I don't know who Anne Bayefsky is, but at Turo Institute, I gather by its name, is some sort of Jewish advocacy group. What they advocate, I don't know, so I'm not going to comment on that. But here is the list of people who spoke there. Elie Wiesel, Natan Sharansky, Alan Dershowitz, John Voight, and the Reverend Patrick Desbois. Now, let's go through that list real quickly. What a gang. What a gang. Elie Wiesel, he's a professional Holocaust survivor, always running around giving speeches at a big price tag. He's a guy, when he first wrote his book Night and Fog about the Holocaust, somehow fantastically failed to mention gas chambers in it. Interesting. Just like Winston Churchill and Dwight Eisenhower, when they wrote their books about World War II, in the 1950s, never mentioned gas chambers. Elie Wiesel, this guy who's preaching against hate, he's a guy who once said, and I'm paraphrasing very, very loosely, something along the lines of every Jew should hold in the one corner of his heart hatred for the German people. Real nice guy. Natan Sharansky, he's the guy they call Bush's brain. He's this ex-Soviet Jew who emigrated to Israel, became a big whoop-de-doo in Israel, served in the cabinet over there, wrote a book about globalizing democracy, something along those lines. That's the Trotskyite line, ladies and gentlemen. He's a guy who Bush quoted that book left and right, told everybody that was the book he was reading and everybody needed to read it. Alan Dershowitz, Mr. Chutzpah himself, this is a guy who just spits when he sees a non-Jew. This is a guy who's running around looking in closets and under beds and between pages in books and in cupboards and coopy holes. He's always running around looking for anti-Semites. Alan Dershowitz is one of the best arguments in favor of anti-Semitism that I know of. He was featured at the conference. Reverend Patrick Desbois. Spelled Desbois. I've never been very good at pronouncing French names, so I'm calling him Desbois. It's probably Desbois or something like that. But in any case, he's the guy who wrote this book, Holocaust. Dumb title, by the way. Holocaust by Bullets. We had Carolyn Yeager on the show a couple weeks ago. Excuse me. We had Carolyn Yeager on the show a couple weeks ago talking about Reverend Desbois' silly book, Holocaust by Bullets. And I love this one. John Voight. I love this. You've heard me talk about John Voight in this program before. John Voight was a big-name actor in his day. He's kind of faded from the scene as his daughter, Angelina Jolie, has eclipsed her father in, I'm sure, wealth and certainly in prominence. She's even been made a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. She and her father are both politically active. It's kind of funny, though. John Voight is now casting himself as one of the Hollywood conservatives. Here's why he's a Hollywood conservative, ladies and gentlemen, because he's a big supporter of Israel, and he hates those evil Islamo-fascists. Now, if you've heard this story before, please bear with me. But if you haven't heard this story before, you'll probably find it interesting. I have a connection with John Voight and Angelina Jolie. I've never met either of them, but I did have the pleasure of working with John Voight's great uncle, Joseph P. Camp, K-A-M-P. He was always considered the dean of American anti-communists. He was writing against communism back in the 1920s when it was still pretty popular here in the United States. He was saying that Soviet communism wasn't evil, that things over there weren't so rosy. And then later, as time progressed, Mr. Camp found that he was constantly being attacked by Jewish groups. Not because he was writing anything anti-Jewish, but because he was writing things that were anti-communist. And that, of course, is back in the big heyday of Sovietism and communism here in American soil, back when the United States had its alliance with the Soviet Union against Adolf Hitler, the meanest man in the world. I understand he died just a few years ago, Mr. Hitler, but we'll talk about that in a minute. And I say, when I say a few years ago, I mean just a few years ago. But in any case, John Voight, his uncle, Joseph P. Camp, my old friend and associate from the old Spotlight days, was ranked by many of the big powerful Jewish organizations as one of the most influential anti-Semitic writers of his generation. So you see what's going on here now. John Voight is trying to make up for that familial crime, his uncle's quote-unquote anti-Semitism, by kissing up to these people. Now maybe we can understand why his daughter has been recruited into the Council on Foreign Relations. And folks, although the popular legend is that the Council on Foreign Relations is controlled by the Rockefellers, it has always been funded by the Rockefellers, but it's always really been a junior cousin of the Rothschild family's International Institute, Royal Institute for International Affairs, based in London. And now, that name sounds like an official organization. It's only official in the sense that it's an adjunct of the Rothschild dynasty, which, as we know, has controlled the British Empire for generations. So here we have John Voight, to round this all up, here we have John Voight prancing about with this crowd, the likes of Alan Dershowitz and, oh God, I don't even want to go through the names again. They're so despicable, so contemptible. Well, here's a funny one. The Los Angeles Opera. Now, let me say something about opera. I don't like opera, ladies and gentlemen. I like classical music. I like all kinds of music. I like Jewish jazz. I like some African-American syncopations. I like good old-fashioned American country music. I like bluegrass. They say I do like classical music, tend more towards Baroque. I like some Broadway show tunes. I like hard rock. I like soft rock. I like all kinds of music, but I don't particularly care for opera. In fact, I don't like opera, period. When an opera comes on a classical music station that I listen to, I turn the classical music station off. So in any case, I don't like opera. And for those ADL types that think that I sit around listening to Wagner, no, I don't, because I don't like Wagner. Now, Richard Wagner, as you probably know, has been accused, and probably correctly, of being anti-Semitic. Anti-Jewish, that is. Well, that has nothing to do with his music. But now, the Los Angeles Opera, once a 10-week festival celebrating Richard Wagner's opera, The Ring, or his series of music called The Ring. I don't even know what the hell it is, ladies and gentlemen. I have some friends who like it, but I don't like it. Well, now the Simon Wiesenthal Center is bitching and complaining and saying that as long as there are Holocaust survivors alive, and there are many in Los Angeles, public accolades for Richard Wagner are a terrible sight. They're mad because Adolf Hitler liked Wagner's music. Now, Richard Wagner died long before Adolf Hitler rose to power, and Richard Wagner did, in fact, write political essays and made commentaries that were anti-Jewish in nature. He was very much a political revolutionary, what a lot of people don't know that. And there was a very interesting movie about Wagner starring Richard Burton some years ago. But the Jews are mad, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is the Jews. It's not the Teutonic German death cult or Bohemian Grove, which is bitching about Wagner. It's the Jews. They don't want his music to be played because Adolf Hitler liked his music. Now, think about that. Even James Conlon. More about this when we get back, folks. This just amuses me, but at the same time, it irritates me. And these kind of things explain why there is, according to the Anti-Defamation League, a rise of anti-Jewish opinion, not only in the United States, but around the world. Stay tuned.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
When you build your own firearm, you build confidence.
KT Ordnance offers the best ATF-approved 80% kits that can be made into firearms.
And when you build your own firearm,
you know it inside and out.
You know how it fires.
You take pride in ownership. Head to ktordnance.com for a great father-son or father-daughter firearm build, like the 45 caliber KT-1911, or choose the 50 caliber KTP-50 that fires a 275-grain bullet for pure stopping power. KT Ordnance's kits are fully legal, ATF-approved, 80% firearm kits with no serial numbers, no background check, and no government 4473 forms to fill out. Go to ktordnance.com and get yours today. That's ktordnance.com. ktordnance.com. Building your own firearm is fun, and you acquire useful skills,
especially at times like these.
Remember, when you build your own firearm, you know it inside and out. KT Ordnance also accepts gold and silver payments. Visit ktordnance.com today.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, unlike other companies that just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Talking about how the Jews are bitching and moaning because the Los Angeles Opera wants to present the works of Richard Wagner, who is, you know, why? I don't know. I don't like his music, as I said, internationally popular. Now, James Conlon, the music director of the opera, says the issue of performing Richard Wagner is completely about performing his music. He was a despicable human being and an anti-Semite. There is no cleaning that up and no attempt to clean that up. The art is about the art and history is about history. Well, I don't know if Mr. Conlon thinks that Wagner was both a despicable human being and an anti-Semite, or if he thinks the fact that Wagner's anti-Semitism would make him a despicable human being, but it's very, very clear that Mr. Conlon is saying, hey, look, this is just about music. We're not here to talk politics. Now, in the meantime, to his credit, there is a Jewish gentleman from Los Angeles, E. Randall Schoenberg, an L.A. Opera board member and the president of the Los Angeles Museum of the Holocaust. He's the grandson of composer Arnold Schoenberg, who fled Berlin as the Nazis rose to power. And his other grandfather was Erich Zeisel, whose own father died in Treblinka. Well, Schoenberg said, my grandfathers loved Wagner's music, even while they hated the man and his terrible philosophy. Well, you know, I guess this just comes back to demonstrate the point, as I've made here repeatedly on this program. You know, we have people who say, oh, Piper talks about the Jews too much. But it just seems like every time we turn around, it's the Jews who are talking about everybody else. And in this case, it's Richard Wagner, who's been dead for, what, how many years? 100 years or more. And whose music is beloved around the world. Why, again, I don't know. But it just goes to show you that when anything touches in even the most indirect way upon what certain Jews perceive to be Jewish interests or Jewish concerns, then all else, including including art and music, goes out the window. And I hasten to add that my understanding is, now this is going to upset a lot of people, but my understanding is that one of Adolf Hitler's favorite performers was an African-American dancer, a tap dancer, named Peg Leg Bates. Now, does this mean that if there is going to be at some African-American museum of music and art a retrospective on the work of Peg Leg Bates, that they're not going to be allowed to show old videos of Peg Leg Bates or recordings of him tap dancing or things like that because Adolf Hitler liked him? I mean, is this how far we have gone, ladies and gentlemen? Yes, that's how far we have gone. Coincidentally, last night, even before I read this article about the big furor in Los Angeles, last night I watched a film entitled Taking Sides, starring Jewish actor Harvey Keitel, who's a very entertaining character. It's a story of Wilhelm Furtwängler. They say he's arguably the most distinguished conductor of his generation. Well, Mr. Furtwängler made the mistake, apparently, in the eyes of the Jewish establishment and the American and Soviet victors of World War II. His crime was not having left Germany. Now, he was not Jewish, as he himself pointed out, the character portraying him in this film points out, but this is the true story of how they actually tried. They tried to say that this conductor who conducted music that Adolf Hitler liked, that this guy somehow in some way contributed to, quote-unquote, the Holocaust and to Nazi propaganda. The guy was just a musician, ladies and gentlemen. He was a conductor. And yet they were trying to bring criminal charges against him to suggest that he was, and they did. They actually put the guy on trial. You know what one of his crimes was? He conducted a symphony at a Nazi party gathering. He didn't go out and gas Jews. He didn't go out and shoot Jews. He didn't go out and electrocute Jews. He didn't go out and throw old Jewish women off cliffs. He didn't throw Jewish babies up on bayonets. He didn't drop them in washing machines. All he did was conduct orchestras. Well, he was not convicted, but the fact is he was put through horrific torture, and not physical torture, mental torture, for just being a musician. Talk about the thought police. Talk about the New World Order. Talk about mind control, ladies and gentlemen. And it wasn't being done by Dr. Mengele. It was being done by the American occupation forces. You see, this is how bad it is. Even if you conduct a symphony in the presence of Adolf Hitler, or if you were a composer whose music Adolf Hitler liked, that means you're bad. That means you're evil. That means you're a threat to mankind. This is how far they have taken it in the past, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm here to tell you, they're going to do it again. They're laying the groundwork for it. This is what it's all about. All right, we're going to the break. A little bit of brief commentary when we come back about Adolf Hitler. I understand that he did not die in 1945. He died quite recently in a nursing home in Seat Pleasant, Maryland, which is not far from Washington, D.C. Stay tuned.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system with proven and guaranteed results for over 15 years? Would you like to stop any mortgage foreclosure and have a written guarantee that would make most attorneys scream? Hi, I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My Zero Debt Expert System has helped tens of thousands of people.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees, and I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, John, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
And you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors or pay a percentage of your debt. Call my experts today at 800-477-9256 and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA, unless you trust the government. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com.
SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here, coming to you from republicbroadcasting.org. You are listening to this network because you can handle the truth, and it's vital that you do support RBN and make sure that it gets as wide an audience as possible. We don't want to talk to the same people every night. Our regular listeners are very welcome friends. But we want our regular listening audience for the entire network to continue to grow. And there's many ways to help support RBN. One is to let people know about RBN. We have these business cards available from RBN, $8 per hundred. Not bad price, folks. You can probably make those last for a while. Write RBN at 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And you know what? If you don't feel like passing out business cards or sending them to friends and family, just make a donation to RBN. That helps too, folks. Literally every penny counts. Talking about the truth. I don't believe that Adolf Hitler died in a nursing home out here in Seat Pleasant, Maryland, a few years ago. There's a lot of interesting stories about Adolf Hitler perhaps having survived World War II. I don't particularly believe them, but the idea that he was protected by the United States government and kept in a nursing home out in Maryland, and he's adopted the identity of someone who lived in Maryland 100 years ago or something like this, I just don't believe it. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people who do believe this, and this story has been circulating on the Internet. I've heard it talked about on this network and other networks. You know, folks, I guess, you know, Mark Glenn and I were talking about this earlier tonight. You know, here at this network and through American Free Press, we put out a lot of information and ideas that people don't hear through the mainstream media. And as a consequence of that, you know, when they hear us on RBN and they hear us read it at American Free Press for the first time, a lot of people are often taken aback and they say, boy, never heard things like this, you know. And then here on this program, where I do frequently talk about Jewish power and Jewish interests and the way they impact, in my opinion, so negatively on American affairs, particularly the conduct of foreign policy, a lot of people get very, very squeamish. Even when they hear the word Jew or they hear about Israel, they don't want to hear about it. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to listen to it. And I understand that. I understand that. As I always say, it's a dirty job, but somebody has to do it. But this dirty job gets a lot more difficult when we are confronted with absolutely crazy stories about Adolf Hitler and Dr. Mengele having been secreted to the United States to run mind control programs here in this country. First of all, Adolf Hitler was in no physical condition to run anything by the end of World War II. If he had not committed suicide, which I do believe he did commit suicide, if he had not committed suicide, it's highly unlikely that he would have lived more than a couple more years. And if he did live, he probably wouldn't have been able to continue holding the reins of power in Germany, let alone be transferred here to the United States to help Dr. Mengele run mind control programs. And Dr. Mengele, no, he's not alive. He's dead. He died down in Brazil years ago. In fact, the Jews and the Israelis knew for years that he wasn't dead, but they kept the story that he was alive for their own propaganda purposes. And then, in fact, it was revealed that he had indeed died. I believe he drowned in a swimming accident, whether it was in Brazil or Paraguay or Chile, I don't know, somewhere in South America. The idea that there is somebody, a German Nazi, was substituted for George H.W. Bush in the Bush family, that he was brought here to the United States to help run America for the Nazis or for the secret Nazi power network that reigns supreme here in America. No, folks. No. I know a lot of people want to believe this. I don't know why they want to believe it. I don't know how exactly it fits into the spectrum of reality. But this is the kind of stuff that's being inserted into the alternative media. Now, maybe the people who are talking this stuff believe it. Maybe they're totally sincere. But, you know, folks, you know, as Mark Glenn said, we cannot allow ourselves to become so addicted to conspiracy theories or fantastic stories that are so contrary to what we believe or think we believe that everything is not a conspiracy. Some things are as they appear to be. And when we get caught up in these stories, I'm here to tell you that friends of mine who've taken years to coming around to understanding where I'm talking about as far as what happened during World War II or what's happening now in the Middle East or, you know, any number of other issues, and it's just a few issues that I do focus on. Friends of mine who finally come around and understand what I've been saying, when they hear these kind of stories, they say, who are these people? I don't know what to say, but I felt compelled to say that because I have to separate myself from that. Just as I say, I've separated myself from some of the stories that have been published in American Free Press about Barack Obama not really being Barack Obama, that he's really somebody else and he's really a Soviet agent. I mean, I was just talking with the wife of the big honcho at American Free Press, Elizabeth Cardo, and she agrees with me completely. You know, so, you know, there is a healthy difference of opinion, even within American Free Press, about the nature of these stories, for example, about Barack Obama. That Barack Obama isn't really Barack Obama, and he's got 500 different identities. And, you know, I mean, you know, you can judge Barack Obama on the official story. Just take the official story of Barack Obama, and there's a lot of negative things about Barack Obama. We don't need to begin spinning these crazy stories, and they are crazy stories, that he may have 500 different identities and social security numbers and demand that Barack Obama show us exactly who he is. We know who Barack Obama is. He's the guy who got elected to the Senate from Illinois, backed by some of the most powerful Jewish interests in Chicago. He was catapulted to the Democratic presidential nomination, and now he is president of the United States. Whether you like it or not, whether you like his policies or not, he's the guy who's in there. And we're not going to score any points by saying he's not really Barack Obama any more than we're going to score any points by saying that George H.W. Bush is not really George H.W. Bush. He's really a Nazi agent who was raised in the Bush family or some such story. I mean, what can I tell you? Well, let's go to the phones. Steve in Illinois. Steve, are you there?
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, what's going on?
An old caller, not a new one. A couple of things. Number one, maybe you should tell the people to get a paper and pencil handy because I got an interesting book review.
All right, that, folks. Get a paper and pen handy, and you can make your other points while they get that pen and paper handy, Steve.
Okay. Well, according to the Bild Zeitung, the Organization for World Animal Health, this located in Paris, has decided that we shouldn't call it the swine flu because they're in agreement with the Israeli Health Ministry that it's an unclean animal and should be called the Mexican flu. That's a true story.
You know what, Steve? I had actually seen the Israeli complaints about that and meant to mention it, but I didn't know that. Well, I think the Mexicans are going to be upset with that organization.
I think so, too. Yeah. Well, have you heard of this book? It's called The Jewish Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes, indeed I have. The Jewish Pirates of the Caribbean. Yes. Yes, I have heard. In fact, I saw it the other day in the bookstore.
Oh, listen, you got to get it because I'm just going to give a brief synopsis. You know, it's going to be a little bit disjointed. But anyways, it's by Edward Kitzler. Kitzler, 324 pages. It's $20.55 from Doubleday. And you want to know where the Death's Head cult came from? They're talking about the pirates, the Jewish pirates, having their Death's Head chisel next to the Star of David on their tombstones in the Kingston, Jamaica cemetery called Hunt's Bay. Matter of fact, it was on David Baruch Alvarez's, and he died 11-8 of 1692, preceding Hitler by like 200-300 years. But anyways, it says one of the pirates was named Moses Cohen Henrique, and in the year 1628, he knocked over a big Spanish ship and made a billion-dollar haul in today's money off of Cuba. And he pledged fealty to Henry Morgan because, Spain and England were fighting for the Caribbean there. Then they
right,
go,
exactly.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes. And they made common cause. And so, anyways, then they go and they talk about the Dutchman Samuel Palaka. He was actually, he worked as a Moroccan rabbi until like the 1600s, and then he became a Caribbean pilot. Now, you go down here, and even that guy they call Jean-Marie Lafitte. He said he became a pirate because of the Inquisition his grandmother had to face. And also the Jews were involved with the English for conquering Jamaica. In 1622, they worked with Cromwell try to break down the Spanish government there. So you can see that this whole thing you know, it's typical of them. You know, the Germans have a saying that when a person is broken, he's pawned himself out. His clothes are learning Hebrew, because that means he's pawned everything to the pawn shops. So, you know.
It's interesting that book comes out just as there's this talk about the piracy by the Sudanese pirates and everything. But, you know, I had learned about John Lafitte being a Jewish pirate years and years ago in a book. I even forget what the book was. I know I have it on my shelf now, but I didn't realize that piracy among the Jews, that it had become such a I don't want to say a predominantly Jewish avocation, but that it was, in fact, an avocation that seemed to attract a large number of Jews. And that is, it's kind of interesting when you look at that in a historical context, particularly, Steve, like you pointed out, when a lot of these Jewish pirates of the Caribbean were actually effectively working on behalf of Great Britain. That in itself, I think, is very, very interesting.
Yeah, and like I say, you know, they're good at fencing stolen goods. You could see a pawn shop on Clark Street in Chicago across from the federal lockup, and they got all these saws, you know, electric saws and stuff. But one last thing, it discussed it says an Italian Jew, his name was Confrisi. They said he was the last pirate executed March 27th, 1825, in San Juan. So there you go, right there.
Well, actually, I'm here to tell you there's a lot more Jewish pirates active today, and one of them is Bernie Madoff, and another one is Larry Silverstein, who owned the World Trade Center, and the list goes on and on.
Good talking to you, Mike.
All right, thanks for your call, Steve. Glad you pointed that out. All right, let's go to David from Texas. David, come on up.
Good evening, Michael.
How you doing, David?
Pretty good. I just wanted to say I've been a subscriber to American Free Press for about a year, and I got one of your books and really enjoyed it. I got the Judas Goats. And,
I appreciate that.
It's kind of like a reference book, all these people in the news, and some of them are stinkers and some of them aren't, but I really enjoyed that book.
All right, I appreciate that.
But my question for you was, do you know Eustace Mullins?
Yes, I know Eustace very, very well, and I'd really love to know exactly where Eustace is right now. I've been getting conflicting reports about where Eustace is and what state he's in. When I say state, I mean what condition he's in, and also what state of the union he's in.
Well, could you maybe tell a little of the story about him and Ezra Pound, and how he was like the disciple of Ezra Pound?
Well, that's actually a very interesting story. And Eustace actually wrote a whole book about his relationship with Ezra Pound entitled This Difficult Individual.
Okay.
And that may be, it hasn't been reprinted in years, but you could probably get secondhand copies of it on Amazon.com.
Oh, sure.
Basically, when Ezra Pound was locked up here in St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Washington after he was captured in Italy after having broadcast for the Italian government during World War II,
mm-hmm.
there were a lot of people working to get Ezra Pound freed from St. Elizabeth's. A lot of distinguished people, poets and people in the arts, and Eustace himself was an aspiring young poet at the time, and He made arrangements to visit Ezra Pound at St. Elizabeth's, and they established a friendly attachment. Ezra Pound saw Eustace Mullins as a bright young man, and he's the guy, Ezra Pound, who educated Eustace Mullins on the history of the Federal Reserve.
Okay.
And he basically gave Eustace the inspiration and a lot of the research material that Eustace used to write his first book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, so basically, in many respects, he was the mentor to Eustace Mullins, and of course, Eustace went on to write so many other tremendous books that are talk about research volumes. Eustace has just compiled so many great books, And although, you know, last time I saw Eustace was about maybe two years ago, although he was he's an old man. He's in his mid-80s. His mind was very, very sharp. He was a little bit more frail than he had been for a long, long time because he had been very sick, had a stroke. But Eustace was as sharp as a tack the last time I saw him. And since that time, he's lived in several places, and various groups of people have been saying that they were the rightful caretakers of Eustace. And I frankly just don't know what's going on with him.
Well, I sure thank you for that little cameo, and I enjoyed talking to you.
Yeah, I appreciate your call, David, and let's all say a prayer for Eustace Mullins wherever he is, and if anybody does know where Eustace is, I would appreciate you maybe calling the show tomorrow evening and letting us know, because a lot of us would like to know where in the world is Eustace Mullins. All right, folks, we're going to the break. When we come back, we're going to be able to squeeze in one more caller. We've got Dave from Massachusetts.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
They say 50 is the new 40. I like that idea. But it won't change the facts about prostate health. At my age, you have to understand what the prostate affects. Urine flow, intimacy, sleeping habits, overall quality of life. So if you're like me and you want to give your body nutritional support for a healthy prostate, then take what I take. All natural beta prostate. Now, many men try Saul Palmetto, but Beta Prostate has hundreds of times more healthy plant sterols. In Europe, doctors prescribe plant sterols for prostate support, but here you can get them in non-prescription Beta Prostate. This is targeted nutrition, and it works with your body. So why wouldn't you take this amazing nutrient? Here's a number you can call to try Beta Prostate risk-free. Call 800-362-5848. Your satisfaction is guaranteed, or you get your money back. 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com, or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, folks, welcome back. Wrapping it up here, we've got Dave from Massachusetts aboard. Dave, come on down to D.C.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, Dave, what's going on?
Hey, listen, thanks for taking my call. Let me ask you a question, Michael. If Lucifer himself had a website, what do you think he'd call it? I know what he'd call it, but what do you think he'd call it?
I don't know. Tell me.
Yeah. They'd call it Direct Light Productions. Lucifer's website is directlightproductions.com. That's Lucifer's website. And if people want to find out where these fantastic conspiracy theories are coming from, just visit Lucifer's website, directlightproductions.com. And, you know, you'll find out that George H.W. Bush, in the 30s, he wasn't in Phillips Academy, Michael, in Andover, Massachusetts. You know, he was in the Waffen-SS over in Nazi Germany. You know, George Scherf, you know. It's just crazy, Michael. But anyways,
yeah, I don't. You know, Dave. I tell you, as I said during the program here tonight, Mark Glenn and I talked about this off the air earlier this evening, and you know, we have so much trouble trying to communicate basic ideas about what's really happening right now with very real people who are walking the face of the earth doing misdeeds. Let's put it this way. Whoever George H.W. Bush is, whoever Barack Obama is, you know, whoever their father really is, whoever their mother really is, maybe, you know, we know what they're doing. We know that so many of the things that they have done and are doing are not good for America. And that's all we have to do. We have to say, look, you know, this is bad. But then to muddy the waters by putting up all these, I don't even know how to describe these stories, whether to describe them as crazy or maybe you put your finger on it, satanic or just over the top.
Yeah, you know, of course, there's the saying, Michael, everyone's familiar with it, that truth is stranger than fiction. And we don't have to make up fiction. In other words, I think that even the fact, like, say, that, President 41 and 43, that the two Bushes, I think it's just the truth is stranger than fiction, just the fact that they belong to this Illuminati, Luciferian, skull and crossbones.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, this is a fact. Yeah, you know, whoever these guys are, all right, just for the sake of argument, let's say that maybe they aren't really who we think they are. We do know the fact that that these two Bush guys belong to Skull and Bones. We know that old George Bush, George H.W. Bush, openly talked about the New World Order. We know that his son was such a horrible president that he makes the old man look like a good guy. I mean, there are these things that are just so obvious that are in front of us that's all we need to talk about. But when we start getting involved in these crazy stories that nobody is who they really are, I mean, I called Mark Glenn and left a message on his answering machine saying that I was really the son of Ariel Sharon and I had been adopted off to an American family back in the 1960s so that I could later become a broadcaster on RBN to stir up support for Adolf Hitler because Adolf Hitler is still alive in the United States, trying to bring the New World Order in through the administration of Barack Obama. I mean, you know, there are people who believe this kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's why I never miss your show, Michael, because you're just a calm voice of sanitary.
Well, people would say I'm insane, but be that as it may, I'm glad somebody thinks I'm a calm voice of sanity. All right. Thanks for your call, Dave. Apologies to those other callers who were aboard with us this evening. We will be here tomorrow night, though, God willing. And hopefully I will have heard from David Duke, and maybe we can get David Duke up here and let him talk about his latest encounter with the Thought Police. All right, folks, have a good evening. I hope your weather in your hometown is as nice as it was here in Washington.